Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries and death notices for Friday, October 2nd. Obituaries. Laquita Montgomery. Laquita Montgomery, 87, of Odessa, passed away Tuesday, September 29th. Family and friends will gather to celebrate her life with a visitation from 12 noon to 1:30 p.m. Saturday, October 3rd at McNett Funeral Home, followed by a graveside service at 2 p.m. at the Andrews Old Cemetery. Interment will follow. Please visit www.mcnettfuneralhome.com for obituary information, visitation, service details, and family pictures or videos. Laquita was born July 21, 1933, in Sulphur, Oklahoma, to Albert Reuben Brandon and Juanita Sampley Braden. She married Alton Montgomery in 1951 in Seminole. Laquita was preceded in death by her parents, Albert Reuben and Juanita Braden, stepfather Pleasant Arnold Morgan, and numerous aunts and uncles. She is survived by her husband of 69 years, Alton Montgomery of Odessa, son Terry Montgomery and wife Jessie of Odessa, daughters Linda Sue Montgomery of Pflugerville, and Lori Denise Tonkin and husband Bob of Odessa, sisters Albernita White and husband Carl of Abilene, and Margaret Green and husband Reverend Robert Bob Green of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, 5 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. John Dean Palmer. John Dean Palmer, 75, passed away Thursday, October 1st. He was born in Brownwood, September 4, 1945, to the late John and Zema Palmer. He married Deborah Hicks in Odessa in 1995, and they enjoyed 25 years together. Surviving him are his wife, Deborah, daughters Georgiana Harbin and husband Jason of Monahans, Charlotte Deanne Jones and husband James of Commerce, Georgia, and Anna Taylor and Brian Yandell of Andrews, and sons Harry Taylor and Rod Lynn, and James Taylor and wife Randy, all of Odessa, as well as 10 grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, John and Zema Palmer, and a sister, Vivian Bryant. Family visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Saturday, October 3rd at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, October 4th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Death notices. Brenda Gale Lowry Norris. Brenda Gale Lowry Norris, 62, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 29th. A memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Monday, October 5th at the Salvation Army Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Robin Ray Stokes. Robin Ray Stokes, 61, of Midland, died Tuesday, September 29th. A funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. October 3rd at American Heritage Funeral Home. Delfino L. Valenzuela. Delfino L. Valenzuela, 70, of Odessa, died Monday, September 28th. A graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 3rd at the Dumas Cemetery with Reverend Johnny Valenzuela officiating.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, September 27, 2020. Viewpoints. District 4. What do you want to see in a new superintendent? Please explain where you think previous superintendents have succeeded and failed. Lastly, to what lengths would you go to make sure the right person is brought to Midland? Salary, guaranteed number of years, etc. Joel Dial, District 4 candidate. Community wants greater effort from Superintendent, Board. The people of District 4 have made quite clear they want a superintendent that communicates effectively, listens to constituents, admits when he or she is wrong, shows fiscal responsibility, and, most importantly, gets results. All of these things have been lacking, not just in the office of the superintendent, but the school board as a whole. I've already spoken with numerous teachers that have made their position clear. They share the public's frustrations. One of the biggest concerns among MISD employees is the sense of campus administrators not being supported by central office, and in turn, the support afforded to teachers is diminished. Of the few compliments offered the superintendents of Midland, most earned went to the last interim superintendent, Rod Schroeder, for his concise communication and no-excuse, lead-from-the-front leadership style. Unfortunately, the consensus is those characteristics were not retained when Schroeder's replacement was found. Orlando Riddick was praised by some campus administrators for good hiring practices, and hopefully that will be one attribute of his time here that will continue into the new administration. Now that Riddick has been removed, the district can begin the arduous task of finding a new superintendent for the district. Careful hiring is the first step to having a good superintendent, and no amount of planning is going to turn a poor superintendent into a good one. The only way to not be locked in with an underperforming superintendent is to negotiate a performance-based contract, setting standards to be met periodically to retain the position. Any additional payment incentives only will be administered on performance-based criteria previously set in the contract. The proverbial stick and carrot is the most reliable way to get results in any business, and there is no reason it should not be utilized here. In summation, the people of this district want a greater effort shown by their school representatives, not just by the superintendent, but by board members as well. Kate Wallace Joyner, District 4 candidate. MISD can't afford a reactive superintendent. I believe that selecting a superintendent is the single most important role of a school board member. This decision will directly impact our student outcomes and will be a vital step in improving MISD. Turning education around in our community will require a strong leader in the superintendent role. That person must be an authentic educator who has an enthusiasm for learning, children, and people. They must be willing to communicate well and often with parents, faculty, staff, and taxpayers. There will not be room for egos, agendas, or bias. If I'm elected to the school board, I will do everything in my power to ensure we hire someone with a clear vision who will bring a balance of new ideas and time-tested educational practices to the table. The culture within any organization starts at the very top. MISD is no different. We need it to be a great place to work and learn. When I began my campaign, I selected accountability, communication, and transparency, ACT, as the top issues surrounding MISD. Midland needs a school superintendent who will take action and proactively seek to improve our academic performance. We cannot afford to have a reactive board or a reactive superintendent. My hope is that with the superintendent hire, the MISD board will look beyond the way the previous failed hires have been selected and think about how we can improve and refresh the hiring process. Our last few superintendents have come from outside of the Permian Basin. I believe we should strongly consider finding someone from West Texas who is already committed to and familiar with our area. Midland is a unique place with unique challenges, as well as incredible potential. Our next superintendent should be poised to address those challenges and unleash our potential. We should avoid hiring someone who is seeking to use the leadership of our district as a stepping stone on their career journey. Instead, we should hire someone for whom being superintendent of MISD is their dream job. Midland has all the elements needed to give our children a great education. I believe we can and will find the right person to lead us. A vote for me to represent District 4 is a vote for a fresh new voice. I will bring an open mind, attention to detail, bold leadership, and a willingness to work hard. It will require time, effort, and collaboration to effectively serve our community. But I am up to the task, and I look forward to finding our new path forward, starting with a new superintendent. Stevie Vargas, District 4 candidate. Set up superintendent to provide children with opportunity for success. In our search for a new superintendent, we need to heavily consider a solid leader, a person who is enthusiastic about his or her role and work, and a passionate and dedicated motivator. Someone who expresses leadership and is willing and ready to collaborate to get our current system turned around and headed in the right direction. We need a superintendent that is not just a subject matter expert, but someone that can be confided in by all and understands and respects the importance of clear, effective communication. We need a leader who is more responsive and not only seeks input from teachers, parents, and students, but also appreciates and encourages that feedback. We need a leader who is more transparent and less clandestine. Transparency shouldn't only be a word we use, but an action we achieve. We need a superintendent that not only we in the community can hold accountable and ensure our school board holds accountable, but who is also ready to hold their district leaders accountable. Let's get back to a check and balance system, as we need a leader that truly has a servant's heart and whose main concern and vision are providing our children the greatest opportunity for success. Our district needs a leader with a clean and respectable track record. We need someone who understands what the teachers need to be set up for success. We need a superintendent willing and ready to focus on safety and discipline within our schools and classrooms. Someone prepared to ensure that reasonable consequences are given based on actions, and someone prepared to hand the control of the classrooms back to the teachers. And why do we continue to pull people out of different regions of Texas? Our region, and especially our district, have extremely talented people that would allow us to focus locally to fill the position. This would ensure a vested interest immediately out the door. We need someone knowledgeable about the unique circumstances our community faces and is dedicated to seeing MISD succeed. When candidates are narrowed down and the selection process begins, I believe the next superintendent should be paid what he or she is worth. Merit-based pay for our next superintendent would definitely offer a great incentive to guarantee that our district leader wants to see our students and teachers succeed. Or perhaps we should call for a 4-year breakdown showing a salary increase, but only if previous year's goals and expectations are met. Starting the salary lower and then leaving room for a raise as the superintendent proves his or her worth is a great motivator to help our superintendent stay focused on what is important. Our district needs to maintain a check and balance system that measures if the expectations are being met, or if they are underperforming, and adjust their salary accordingly the following fiscal year. We need to ensure that we are getting quality work for our superintendent continuously throughout a 4-year term, to ensure a formula for success as the new superintendent takes over. It would also ensure that we stay focused on what really matters, giving our children the greatest opportunity to succeed. The current system is broken, and we need someone who can come in and collaborate with others to turn it around, a person who can compromise in areas that are less beneficial and redistribute that time and energy for more prevalent issues facing our children's education. I encourage any citizen of our community that has questions, feedback, or just wants to continue this discussion to please reach out at VargasDistrict4@gmail.com or reach me on Facebook at Stevie Vargas for MISD District 4. District 7. District will do better under superintendent striving for better student outcomes. Brian Murray, District 7 candidate. Note: Joseph Gallegos did not turn in an opinion article. What do I want to see in a superintendent? It may be best to list out some of the qualities that I would prefer and then expound upon them. 1. Attention to academics. 2. A strong leader. 3. Campus friendly and trustworthy. 4. Great communicator. 5. Manager of resources. This board has done an abundance of work to establish academic goals in relation to direction from the state in Lone Star governance. We have been very dedicated to the work. One of the pieces is a theory of action. We felt the district had been under a managed instruction mode, and we felt the need to move to a model of autonomy and then on to the system of grade schools over a 10-year period. The most important aspect, main thing, of the Lone Star governance are student outcomes. I feel we must get back on track by putting the full force of our resources behind these academic goals. Next, we need a strong leader that can make the hard decisions but must also be present when others offer ideas. Leadership is about building a team. The best teams do not look for individual achievements, but rather success for all. All MISD campuses are unique in that there are no one-size-fits-all answers. We need a leader that can manage by allowing each school to grow in their own way. My third quality is being campus-friendly, which somewhat ties to leadership. We have great principals and teachers in MISD. If we are seeking to return to academic excellence, we need to find a way to support their needs to be successful. The superintendent must close the door to losing these good principals and teachers by creating an environment where the staff can feel appreciated and flourish in their calling. If this candidate can pull this off, we may be able to win back the trust of some of the great teachers that we have lost over the last several years, which has been one of my goals. Our campus culture must be converted to a positive, trusting, growth-oriented, and supportive environment. Communication is a key to this role. The superintendent must communicate with the board, our MISD staff, and the community. As a board, we have heard loud and clear that transparency is the key to success with our community. We must expect better and be better. Lastly, the superintendent holds the keys to the district. MISD is financially well managed, contrary to public perception, and this person must decide how to deploy the resources to obtain the maximum return for our students. He or she must focus on campus supports, staff salaries and benefits, and a maintenance plan. MISD must provide the best education possible, while, at the same time, providing the safest and most complete facilities we can offer. The next superintendent must be able to listen to campus needs and be willing to and determine a plan for asset utilization. In my opinion, I believe our former superintendent was focused on the theory of action and the 10-year plan. I strongly believe that the other six board members and I are laser-focused on academics. I believe the reduction in central office personnel that we once achieved under Mr. Schroeder has been diminished, and the administration building in some areas has become bloated again. This district can and will do better under a superintendent that remains focused on the main thing and continues to strive for better student outcomes. I also believe our past superintendent did very little, if anything, to gain the respect of our principals and teachers. There was absolutely no attempt to build relationships. The right person will be a fixture in this community and dedicated to academic growth. I believe there is an established market for superintendents as far as a compensation package, and the term is generally a 3-year term. Each year, after all the goal measures are completed, the board does an evaluation of the superintendent and can choose to extend by a year and or offer an increase to pay. If the results are unsatisfactory, the board can choose a variation of these or take no action. It will take some time to return to academic excellence, but the community expects better outcomes, and the board must demand them.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, September 27th, 2020. Start with trust. Heater repair tips by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. Autumn is here, and while the Texas heat is still lingering, it's never too early to prepare for cooler weather. You may decide to purchase a brand new unit ahead of winter or tune up your current one. Either way, doing your research is key to saving yourself stress and frustration in the future. The best thing you can do is find trustworthy sources for purchases, installations, and repairs. In 2019, more than 4,000 customers filed complaints about the heating and air conditioning industries. Luckily, BBB can guide you to reliable businesses. If you're looking to purchase and install a new HVAC unit, consider these tips from your Better Business Bureau. Consider an energy audit. Conducting an energy audit before you purchase a heating system may help you determine which unit best suits your needs. Your utility company may be able to do the audit for a small fee or even for free. Utility companies may also offer do-it-yourself kits. Making improvements to the caulking, weather stripping, and insulation around your home may enable you to utilize a smaller, less expensive unit. Compare brands and models. Once you determine the level of unit you need to adequately heat your home, compare brands to find the best prices and customer reviews. Other things to consider are life expectancy, warranty, and energy efficiency standards. Select authorized contractors. When choosing a contractor to install the system, make sure they are approved and authorized by the manufacturer. Approval and authorization mean they meet the requirements and are trusted by the manufacturer to install the product. Check contracts and written agreements to see if the contractor offers at least one free callback after installation to perform a checkup on the system. Maintaining your unit is just as important as choosing a new one. Here's what you should know about maintenance and repairs. Do maintenance routinely. Performing routine maintenance will prolong the life of your system and save you money. You can do routine maintenance, such as replacing or cleaning filters. A qualified technician can perform more thorough examinations. Know what a checkup includes. When having your unit inspected, the technician should check for things like rust, leaks, and necessary adjustments. They should also clean the unit and look for obstructions. Promote energy efficiency. There are steps you can take in your home to make the most of the energy you use. Not only will this save you money, but it will also decrease the wear and tear on your HVAC unit. Shading rooms from direct sunlight, using ceiling fans, and properly insulating your home are all ways to promote energy efficiency. Visit us at bbb.org to view business profiles and find more tips on heating purchases and repairs. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, September 26th, 2020. Atmos Energy employees pledge $875,000. Atmos Energy employees take enormous pride in their commitment to fuel safe and thriving communities, and during the company's annual Week of Giving campaign held September 14th through 18th, employees across the enterprise pledged more than $875,000 in donations that will benefit United Way, No Kid Hungry, and the Salvation Army in the 8 states served by Atmos Energy. Further amplifying the impact of this tremendous financial support, Atmos Energy will match all employee donations and contribute an additional $875,000, effectively doubling the resources provided to these crucial organizations that enrich childhood literacy, provide nutritious meals, and offer a helping hand to our most vulnerable neighbors for a grand total of more than $1.7 million. Week of Giving is an annual tradition that has raised millions of dollars over the years for vital organizations that fuel safe and thriving communities, all thanks to the generosity of our remarkable employees, Kevin Akers, Atmos Energy President and CEO, said. Our theme this year is More Essential Than Ever, which speaks to our roles as essential workers in the communities we serve, as well as the invaluable assistance offered by our partners at United Way, No Kid Hungry, and the Salvation Army. A sincere and heartfelt thank you to all of our employees who stepped up to make this our most successful week of giving yet. Each organization underpins Atmos Energy's enduring commitment to make a difference in the communities it serves. United Way advances the common good by focusing on education, income, and health, the building blocks for a good quality of life. No Kid Hungry works to ensure that every single child in America has the food they need to grow up healthy and strong. And the Salvation Army exists to meet human need wherever, whenever, and however it can. Taken together, these partners align perfectly with Atmos Energy's Fueling Safe and Thriving Communities initiative, which emphasizes three primary areas of need: students, community heroes, and our neighbors in need. During the week of giving, employees across the enterprise participated in activities that stoked excitement to give back to communities where they work and live, such as virtual bingo and Kahoot games hosted online by division presidents and other senior leaders. Family recipes were also submitted and compiled to create the Atmos Energy Cookbook, which was made available for purchase with all proceeds benefiting the campaign. And of course, as in years past, an intranet portal facilitated donations to the employee's choice of United Way, No Kid Hungry, or the Salvation Army. Volunteering is a fundamental element of Atmos Energy's culture, and employees typically dedicate more than 35,000 hours each year toward community service in the cities and towns they call home. While the global pandemic significantly limited in-person volunteering opportunities, Atmos Energy employees nevertheless found ways to give back virtually. Throughout Week of Giving, employees participated in an online back-to-school drive that amassed school supplies for students at Mi Escuelita, a preschool network that develops English language vocabulary skills at 11 locations in the Dallas area. Thank you notes were also written and sent online, expressing gratitude and words of this incredible pledge of support to such big-hearted community service partners is a testament to the charitable spirit that is woven into the fabric of our culture. David Park, Atmos Energy Senior Vice President of Utility Operations and United Way of Metropolitan Dallas board member, said. Alongside our recent announcement to commit $2 million to enrich childhood literacy, these Week of Giving donations will go a long way towards fueling the safe and thriving communities we serve with pride. OC Auto and Diesel Technology Programs attain ASE accreditation. Odessa College's Auto and Diesel Technology programs have received ASE accreditation. The ASE Education Foundation informed the college that after reviewing the two programs' complete evaluation results, both met the strict industry standards required for ASE accreditation, a news release said. ASE accredited programs offer students up-to-date curriculum and cutting-edge equipment that will prepare them for entry-level positions in the automotive and diesel technology programs at Odessa College, ASE accreditation is a mark of quality for both programs. Students will also have the opportunity to earn ASE student certifications while earning their associate in applied science degrees, OC Dean of the School of Business and Industry, Jennifer Myers, said in the release. I am so proud of the hard work that has gone into this process. Our students and community will benefit greatly from the automotive and diesel technology programs at Odessa College. Our students can be assured that they will be educated in a state-of-the-art facility with the latest equipment and will be prepared to enter into lucrative careers as automotive and diesel professionals, Myers said. ASE accreditation is an involved process that requires reviewing ASE program standards, a program self-evaluation, an ASE Education Foundation review of the self-evaluation, and a site visit to the training facility. Since Odessa College has two programs, auto technology and diesel technology, each program had to go through this process to receive accreditation. The current accreditation is effective through July 2025, and in order to maintain their accreditation, the programs will have ongoing reviews by the ASE Education Foundation.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, September 27th, 2020. Guest View: Harnessing American Innovation for the Future by Congressman Will Hurd. Artificial intelligence, AI, has the potential to transform the way we work, learn, live, and defend the nation, but our leadership in this technology remains uncertain. With reports by top officials warning that the United States is in danger of losing its global leadership in AI and its innovation edge, we should protect our national security and invest in the research and development of AI across our innovation ecosystem. As a former undercover CIA officer, I learned that understanding the motivations of our adversaries are critical to our ability to contain and counteract them. We know Russia and China are investing in AI. We must do more. The Chinese Communist Party, CCP, is one of our biggest threats in the AI space, and they are willing to take tremendous steps, including conducting illegal actions on American soil, such as stealing intellectual property, falsifying grant applications, and hiding Chinese citizens' links to the People's Liberation Army. A 2019 report by the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission also found the CCP is positioning Chinese firms to become the next AI leaders through government intervention, market structure, and construction of AI-enabling infrastructure. America can stop this, but we must act now by implementing a national AI strategy. The first pillar of our resolution is workforce. Since AI will reshape the way we work, the federal government must help prepare American workers and students for the jobs of tomorrow by equipping them with the knowledge to build or work with AI systems. National security is the second pillar because AI will change the way we defend America, generate intelligence, and fight wars. Our resolution outlines how Congress should invest research dollars into human-machine teaming, trustworthiness, and ethics. Our military and intelligence community should trust their AI systems, and all Americans should trust that America, not the CCP or Russia, has the most effective AI systems in the world. The third pillar is R&D because Americans and Congress know the importance of investing in the future. During the origins of the Internet and during the digital revolution, American R&D expenditures made a huge difference on the development of new tech, but these investments have stagnated. In the meanwhile, China's has quadrupled. And we have other tools for accelerating R&D besides spending. Computing resources and data are essential ingredients for AI research. The federal government should expand access to existing supercomputing resources for AI researchers and build on the Open Government Data Act to release more data sets for public use. Ethics is our fourth pillar, and it is pivotal to ensuring American values are reflected in the next big driver of America's economy. Congress already has a natural entry point for promoting the ethical use of AI through its oversight function. Each congressional committee should review the existing regulations in their jurisdiction and include AI policy in their oversight agendas. This is the best way to protect the American public, take advantage of AI, and ensure accountability. Technology and AI is the future, and we must take advantage of it before it takes advantage of us. If we want America to remain the global leader, we must take AI seriously by promoting its benefits and creating limits where appropriate. I hope my colleagues in Congress recognize this importance and join Congresswoman Kelly and me in passing this key resolution. We look forward to making the possibility of American AI leadership a reality. A former undercover CIA officer, entrepreneur, and cybersecurity expert, Will Hurd is the U.S. representative for the 23rd Congressional District of Texas. In Washington, he serves on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, where he is the ranking member of the Subcommittee on Intelligence Modernization and Readiness, and the House Committee on Appropriations, where he serves on the subcommittees on military construction and veterans affairs and on transportation, housing, and urban development. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, September 27th, 2020. Opinion. National View. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legacy. The Point. In the rearview mirror, the victories of a trailblazing feminist. On the road ahead, the threat of an entrenched and powerful minority. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died last Friday at the age of 87, will forever have two legacies. The one Americans could be focusing on right now is the one of legal trailblazer. Justice Ginsburg, the second woman ever to be appointed to the Supreme Court, paved the way for women's equality before the law and for women's rights to be taken seriously by the courts and by society. As an attorney, she argued and won multiple cases at the Supreme Court in the 1970s, eventually persuading an all-male bench to apply the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause to sex-based discrimination. On the court, she continued to point the way toward greater equality in opinions like United States versus Virginia, which held unconstitutional the Virginia Military Institute's policy of refusing to admit women. Inherent differences between men and women, we have come to appreciate, remain cause for celebration, Justice Ginsburg wrote for a 7-1 majority. But not for denigration of the members of either sex or for artificial constraints on an individual's opportunity. It was sweet revenge for someone who had once been rejected for jobs at top New York law firms and denied a clerkship on the Supreme Court because she was a woman. The other legacy of Justice Ginsburg's that the country is now urgently forced to confront is the cold political reality that she died in the final few weeks of a presidential campaign. At a moment when President Trump and Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, appeared to be dead set on replacing her with someone who would obliterate much of the progress she helped the country make. The court now faces a serious crisis of legitimacy. Senate Republicans, who represent a minority of the nation, and a president elected by a minority of the nation, are now in a position to solidify their control of the third branch of government. The Supreme Court, with another Trump appointee, could stand as a conservative firewall against the expressed will of a majority of Americans on a range of crucial issues. The cynicism of the political moment stands in sharp relief against Justice Ginsburg's idealism. She faced down multiple bouts of cancer and other health emergencies during her tenure on the bench. Through it all, she never wavered in her commitment to the court as a vehicle for a more just and more equal America. She was a dogged, tireless fighter. It was easy to imagine she might live another 20 years, battling back whatever came at her. Of course, we knew better. Defending her decision not to retire when President Barack Obama could have picked her replacement, she said, "There will be a president after this one, and I'm hopeful that that president will be a fine president." She never anticipated President Donald Trump, whom she called a faker during a 2016 interview. She shouldn't have said it, but she was right. Everyone who cares about the integrity of the nation's highest court has been dreading a moment like this. The death of a justice, as Americans are already casting their ballots in the most contentious and consequential presidential election in living memory. The future of the court now rests in the hands of Mr. McConnell, the man who has done more damage to the court's standing than perhaps anyone in modern American history. With Mr. McConnell's help, President Trump has already filled two seats on the court with hard-right ideologues. The first, Neil Gorsuch, is a justice solely because of Mr. McConnell's obstruction on false pretenses of President Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland. The second, Brett Kavanaugh, was a highly contentious nominee with a long, troubling record in government that Mr. McConnell hid from the American people. And that was before Mr. Kavanaugh faced credible allegations of sexual assault. At least there was no question about the circumstances surrounding the vacancy that Justice Kavanaugh filled. In contrast, Justice Gorsuch's seat is forever stained by Mr. McConnell's outrageous ploy to deny a Democratic president an appointment. At the time, the majority leader claimed that he was holding open the seat that had been held by Justice Antonin Scalia because it was an election year and the American people should have a voice in choosing the next justice. Mr. McConnell disavowed that position almost immediately, claiming that it only applies when the presidency and the Senate are controlled by different parties. Last Friday night, he said, President Trump's nominee will receive a vote on the floor of the United States Senate, even though the election is less than 2 months away. So much for the American people. Throughout the Trump years, Republicans have shown little willingness to place principle above party or to place the long-term interests of the nation above short-term political victories. But perhaps a few Republican senators will take the quickened pulse of the nation and consider the case to postpone resolving Justice Ginsburg's replacement. Justice Ginsburg, who was Jewish, died on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Fittingly, it is a day when Jews look backward and forward, reflecting on what has passed and preparing for what is to come. Justice Ginsburg's death marks the end of her long battle on behalf of equality for all Americans. Others must now carry that fight forward. The New York Times.
To Your Good Health, by Dr. Keith Roach. Side effect requires expert evaluation. Dear Dr. Roach, In your column about statins, you said they have the potential for side effects. Why don't doctors know or consider these when prescribing them or tell you when to stop taking them? After a few years on statins, I had muscle aches, especially in my legs. Not one doctor acknowledged it when I asked if it could be the statins, except to say, "Let's try another one." It wasn't until I read an article online written by two European doctors and one from San Diego who talked in depth about statin side effects. That's why they said they don't prescribe statins like the doctors here in the U.S. They said if you take a statin, the doctor should tell you to also use coenzyme Q10 supplement, as that is what the statins takes from your muscles. I had been taking them for years and immediately weaned myself off and started taking the CoQ10. It was too late. That was years ago. My legs now are weak and still ache, especially when I walk. I always had strong legs before. Other than that, I am quite healthy for my age of 84. Why don't doctors know about this? JW. Answer. I am sorry to hear about your experience and disappointed none of your doctors apparently made a correct diagnosis. Muscle aches in people using statin drugs are common, and changing the type of statin drug is the usual treatment. However, the fact that symptoms began several years after starting them and continued even after discontinuation argues that this was not the typical type of muscle aches that come with statins. It is possible that you had a rare statin side effect, such as immune-mediated necrotizing myopathy. You should have been referred to an expert immediately if the symptoms did not get better once the drug was stopped. Less than one person in 1,000 will develop a serious muscle problem due to statins. Evaluation should have included a level of the muscle enzymes in the blood, and possibly a muscle biopsy to determine the underlying cause.
Friend wants to break up with longtime partner. Dear Abby, for Friday, October 2nd, 2020. Dear Abby, years ago, I met a man through golf and we developed a casual relationship. I lost track of him for a few years, but when I heard his wife was being treated with chemo for cancer, I took them food and offered my support. As our friendship grew stronger, we began playing more golf and became refriended. He's a good golfer, but very serious, and he whines constantly on the course. I've kidded him about it, and he acknowledges it to a small degree. He's also joined at the hip with his wife, so much so that when I invited him to our cabin for a guy's weekend, he asked if his wife and dog could come along. I nixed the dog and reluctantly agreed to the wife. A year later, I invited him again, but without his wife, because two other friends were coming and it was for guys only. He came, but he didn't really fit in. Fast forward to now. Our friendship continues, but his whining has grown much worse, and he can't go anywhere without his wife, although she's very nice. She has mentioned to friends that I'm one of the only few remaining friends, and she appreciates it very much. Now I know why. How do I break up, Abby? I don't want to be around him anymore. Anonymous in the West. Dear Anonymous, because your friend doesn't fit in with the other guy friends, no rule of etiquette says you must continue to invite him. I wish you had mentioned what he whines about when you golf with him. If it is his wife's precarious health, it may be that he needs to vent in a cancer support group rather than with you. If it's the golf game, then you will have to decide whether he's such a valuable golf partner that you need him. If other members of your golf group no longer want him there, it would be a kindness to socialize with him and his wife less often rather than abandon him. If the shoe was on the other foot, isn't that what you would want? Dear Abby, my siblings died a couple of years apart, and my parents treat me like I'm the one who should be gone. They often complain or compare the things I do to something they would have done. My parents raised me to be independent and take care of myself, but all they do is show me that I don't matter. My niece shares that opinion. She thinks I'm not raising my son right. Mind you, she's only 20 and doesn't know her behind from her elbow. I want to leave, but finances and obligations prohibit me. What can I do to make them see that I'm doing everything I can? Not valued in California. Dear Not Valued, I'm sorry for what you are experiencing. The thing about being compared to a deceased person, or two, is there is a tendency to idealize the dearly departed. That you are being given short shrift for your efforts is sad. I think it's time to speak up and let your feelings be known. As to your niece, the expert on child care, tune her out, as you would with static on your radio.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Libra and a moon in Aries. Happy birthday for Friday, October 2, 2020. Witty, charming, and very sensitive underneath, you are gifted verbally, and this year you say something profound through your work. You succeed where others fail. If single, only those close to you see your emotional vulnerability, so it takes a while to find your mate, until next year. If attached, you're bound at the hip with a strong individual. Your love rises to new heights this year. Scorpio wears you down. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. You will stir up the status quo just to relieve the tedium of daily life. You lead discussions and win debates using clever repartee. A great capacity for problem-solving is in evidence. Tonight brings a variety of important emails, phone calls, and messages. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. There is much brewing within you that companions can't quite perceive. Friends are genuinely a blessing, but you will recognize the wisdom of keeping your own counsel. Be especially patient and subtle regarding love. Tonight, early bedtime following a long bath. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Today brings a charming and attractive acquaintance into your social circle. Maintain a touch of reserve to make the best impression. Not your usual modus operandi, but it works so well in this case. Tonight, circulate online and be receptive to love. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Today brings career opportunities. Endeavors begun now could turn out to be long-term and secure. Some of you will decide to take the plunge into something new. Power struggles with others might occur. Tonight, changes occur that are beyond your conscious control. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Restlessness and impulse reign. Today isn't the time for true leisure activities. Get some exercise. Market yourself and your creative talents. Try to avoid conflict, which could easily arise with your mate or business partner. Tonight, take a deep breath and proceed slowly. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 2 stars. Though planetary aspects are super for business matters and career, beware romantic indiscretions. Having fun could turn out to be costly in a variety of ways. Arguments and disagreements will undoubtedly arise. Tonight, not a time to take financial risks. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Caution has been a keynote regarding commitments lately, with many of you wavering between taking a chance or holding back. Today could have you making that important decision. What seemed to be a mere fantasy could suddenly become reality. Tonight, wonderment. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 2 stars. Day-to-day work routine, dealings with coworkers, and your general health may be interrupted today. Smooth sailing is not likely. Your stomach is likely to be upset if you let it be. Take care and slow down. Tonight, make that phone call. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Today will have you in the mood to celebrate, But don't expect to overdo it and emerge unscathed the next day. You'll feel like kicking up your heels and can use the energy profitably at the gym. Tonight, someone new catches your eye. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 5 stars. Major life changes and transitions are in the wind. View this period as an opportunity for change, and don't be afraid. You are entering into a new realm of existence, experiencing a virtual rebirth. Tonight, the planet of luck smiles upon your finances. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 4 stars. Although you might be feeling rather emotional, fortunate planetary aspects suggest you'll be receiving good news, making happy plans, or just plain celebrating with friends. Don't let anything put a damper on your thoughts. Tonight, the good far outweighs the negative. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 3 stars. Today is not good for large-scale spending, as you will most likely have to return what you've purchased. Mull over decisions as thoughts are cloudy and the mind a bit restless. You might not make much sense, even to yourself. Tonight, relax. Born today, leader Mahatma Gandhi, 1869, comedian Groucho Marx, 1890, novelist Graham Greene, 1904.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.